All right, we're going to talk about miracles this morning. It's interesting when we talk about miracles, you get some quite different reactions from people in regard to that. There are a lot of people who just deny that there's anything miraculous in the world at all. They have a totally naturalistic view. It basically eliminates God. I mean, if you eliminate God, yeah, I expect there wouldn't be anything supernatural going on. But they take that idea that everything can be explained by natural causes and natural means. That's why we have the theory of evolution, to try to explain things about how this world came into being without a God being there. And we've talked about and studied that before. The scriptures are give us the truth on that, certainly not this idea of men. The Jesus seminar is one of the things I think is a good example of that. They went through and supposedly analyzed the gospel accounts to determine what Jesus really said and what were, you know, myths and fables and so forth. And they eliminated, they start out with the assumption that anything in there that's miraculous couldn't have happened. Well, you start out with the idea that, okay, there's no God. How do we, you know, how do we know this is true? If there's no, how do we know what was said? If there's no, we start with the idea that there's no God, that Jesus was not God. So that's one side. There are others who embrace miracles and believe that they are still active today. Now, let me say this. I believe that God can perform miracles, and I'm not saying that He doesn't perform miracles, but what they mean by that, those who embrace the miracles, is they believe that God is still giving men the ability to perform miracles. That God is still giving men the ability to do things like to heal and to cast out demons and to speak in tongues and things like that. And so there are a lot of churches, charismatic churches, we usually refer to them there. And they sort of have the idea that if it's there in the scriptures, if Jesus could do it, then we can do it. If the apostles could do it, we can do it. And, I think the problem for that is that they don't really understand why Jesus performed miracles. And that's what we're going to kind of look at this morning. We're going to look at several things about the miracles of Jesus. Number one, what type of miracles did He perform? We'll look at that question. We'll look at how did Jesus perform these miracles. We'll look at the question, why did Jesus perform these miracles? Because that helps us answer the ultimate question, which is this. Are miracles still a part of God's plan and purpose for us as believers today? Is it a part of our ministry today as we live in this present dispensation of grace? Now, let's start out with the question, what miracles did Jesus perform? The first thing that pops to the mind is what? Water to wine. Well, that's actually the first miracle He performed. Yeah, we think of things like that. The first thing that pops into my mind when you think of Jesus' miracles is healing. I mean, that was such a vital part of His ministry and such an important part of His ministry throughout His entire life that it was healing. He healed the blind, the deaf, the mute, the lame, the paralyzed, the ones with a withered hand, the lepers, the woman who had an issue or a flow of blood. He healed all of those. He healed all of those. He could also cast out demons or unclean spirits or evil spirits. And even oftentimes those things would cause physical infirmities. There would be an association. This person is demon-possessed, but they also are lame because of that, or they're mute because of that. He turned water to wine. Someone mentioned that one. He fed at one particular point 5,000 men, probably likely much more than 5,000 people there. Another occasion, he fed over 4,000 people. The miraculous catch of fish, that was an interesting one because there's one catch that happens near the beginning of His ministry and another miraculous catch of fish that happens near the end of His ministry. So He did that. He calmed the storm, the sea, the winds. He walked on the water. He enabled Peter to walk on the water. He raised the dead. He cursed a fig tree. On the next day, He came by and it was completely withered up. Some of the ones that sometimes people miss is, and when we saw that this morning, He knew what people were thinking. You know, as the scribes and Pharisees were reasoning about what we read there this morning about Jesus' statement, your sins are forgiven. Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew what their thoughts were. He knew what their minds were. So He knew people's thoughts and minds. There were times when the Jewish leaders tried to take Jesus, several occasions where they tried to take Jesus. And it just has a simple statement in there. He passed through their midst. Now, that might not sound like a miracle on the outside, but it truly is. How could He simply pass through their midst? Something miraculous took place there. And then we got His own resurrection and His own ascension, both, I think, are clear examples of miracles as well. This is quite a list. John wrote this. He says, he wrote that the works that Jesus did, if they were written one by one, he says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. There are probably a lot of other miracles that he did that we don't even know what they were, and probably countless numbers that are not recorded. Jesus performed a tremendous number of miracles. Yet, those who claim that we can still do miracles today and that we should still be involved in that type of ministry, interestingly enough, they typically limit the miracles that they focus on. He's usually limited to three things: to healing, to casting out demons, and to speaking in tongues, which I don't know if there's any record of Jesus actually speaking in tongues, but he certainly gave that ability when the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to his apostles. They could speak in tongues as well. This type of belief is usually part of what's commonly associated with the health and wealth gospel, which is the idea that God wants you to be healthy and God wants you to be wealthy, and all you have to do is have enough faith and pray for it and it can happen. And so you see these types of miracles usually associated with that. And, in one sense, I can understand their feelings a little bit or their thoughts on that. God does care about us. And in fact, if you read in Scripture, many times when it talks about when Jesus performed miracles, particularly miracles of healing, it says that he felt compassion for the people. These were not just cold, acts that that the Lord Jesus did, not just miracles that he performed to demonstrate his power or something like that. He genuinely did care about people. He had compassion on people. He would reach out, to a man who was leprous. He reached out and touched the man. He didn't do that. He didn't touch a leper. But he would do that. He would reach out and touch. He would reach out and give a hand to someone and help them up. Things like that. So he did have compassion on them. But when you look at the things that Jesus did, and you look at the quote-unquote faith healing ministries of today, the charismatic ministries, there's a great contrast between what they espouse as being true and what Jesus actually did. How did Jesus perform his miracles? In particular healing, but all of them. I'm going to look at several things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And go down with me to verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. This is near the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics. And what does it say he did? He healed them. How many of them did he heal? He healed them all. All kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, everyone that was brought to him, it says he healed them all. Look with me at chapter 8. Look over to Matthew chapter 8. Go down to verse 16. It says, Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and notice, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But how many did he heal? All of them. The same thing in Matthew 12:15. In fact, if you look through his ministry, you'll see that anyone that was brought to him, no matter what they had, what disease or what infirmity they had, he was able to heal them all. He was not selective in who he healed and who he didn't heal. He healed them all. Second thing we look about him is that Jesus' miracles were truly miraculous. He did things that are impossible to duplicate or to fake. And you say, well, who would duplicate or fake a miracle? Well, there's lots of people, I think, that would do that. You go back, for instance, to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, when Moses and Aaron went before the Egyptian Pharaoh to demand that God, free his people and allow them to go out and worship in the wilderness, Moses and Aaron were given, signs by God to demonstrate and prove that they had been sent from God, that the power of God was behind their demands and so forth. Well, Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate three of the miracles. The first three miracles that were there, they were able to duplicate. Now, but it says, if you go back and read in Scripture and look at these statements that are made back in the book of Exodus, it said they did so with their enchantments. In other words, they did so with tricks. They were much like what we would call magicians today in that sense. They were able to do tricks and make it look like they were actually performing the same thing that Moses could do or Aaron could do. Well, later on, when the tricks got more difficult, they couldn't duplicate it. And many of the things that Jesus did couldn't be duplicated. Here's a man who's born blind, and Jesus healed him. He's been blind his entire life, and Jesus healed him. Even he recognized, he said this, he says, since the world began, it is unheard of that anyone healed a person who's been born blind. It's unheard of. You simply don't see that type of thing. when he calmed the winds and the sea. He's out in a boat with his disciples, and there's a huge storm, and his disciples are afraid. And with one word, he simply says, "Peace, be still." He gave a command. Those words are in the form of a command. He commanded the winds, and he commanded the seas to calm, to be still. And it says, and they immediately were. And the disciples, these are those who followed him and watched everything he did. They asked the question, who can this be? Who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? You can't duplicate something like that. And then the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus is not the first person Jesus raised from the dead, but the first person Jesus raised from the dead who'd been dead for 4 days. And his sister said, you can't go up and take the stone away from the tomb because there'll be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. His body will have already started to decompose. And Jesus said, move the stone away from the door. And he called out with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. You can't duplicate that. Jesus' miracles were not trivial things, not things you could fake, not things you could duplicate, things that only God could do. Jesus' miracles were also complete. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Look with me at verse 34. Go down to verse 34. And it says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, that is Jesus, they sent out into all that surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Just the touch of it, just to reach out and touch his garment. Anyone who reached out and touched his garment was made how? Perfectly well. That expression is used in the scripture. Jesus made people whole. He made people well. It was like they'd never been sick or they'd never had an infirmity at all. If they had a withered hand, when he got finished with the healing, the withered hand was just like the other hand. He healed people completely. He gave soundness and health to both body and mind as he healed people of their diseases. There was no partial healing. There was no delay in it. It was a complete healing. And Jesus' miracles were also permanent, mostly. He said, there are a few miracles that weren't permanent. When Jesus healed somebody who was blind, we don't read in Scripture that they became blind later on. When he was healed somebody who was lame, they didn't become lame again. The deaf didn't certainly have trouble hearing again later on. They were healed. Now, the only exception to that is what, do you think? Resurrection. Yeah, when Jesus raised somebody from the dead, it was a temporary situation. He raised them from the dead into physical life. But Lazarus died again. Lazarus died and Jairus' daughter died. They all died again. So that was the only thing that we would say was temporary was the resurrection. Now, that's not to say that Jesus does not give eternal resurrection because he does. He said himself, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection of life. And he's talking about spiritual life and spiritual resurrection that will last for all eternity. So Jesus' miracles also, this is always fascinates me, they were instantaneous. They were instantaneous. When Jesus commanded the wind and the seas, peace, be still, it happened just like that. And they obeyed him immediately and the storm ceased immediately. When Peter's mother, look at me in the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Peter's mother-in-law was ill with a fever. And verse 31, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 31. It says, so Jesus came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. Again, I think you see the compassion in what he's doing for here. But notice what it says. And immediately the fever left her. It left her so completely and she was so well and so completely well. What did she do? And she served them. You know, when you're sick and you get well from something, you kind of like, I need a couple of days to recuperate, get my strength back up. And strength, illness zaps our strength sometimes. Her strength was restored completely. The illness was completely gone. She felt perfectly normal. She got up and she served them. That's the way Jesus' miracles were. In fact, Mark uses that word over and over again, that Jesus repeatedly, when he healed the leper. Look at verse 42, same chapter. As soon as he had spoken, it says, immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. We see the same thing when he healed a paralytic in Mark chapter 2. The woman's fountain or issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. The raising of Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. All of them happened immediately. When he spoke or when they touched or whatever it took for them to be healed, they were healed immediately. You think about a man, for instance, who's lame, who's been lame his entire life. What are his muscles like in his leg?
They've never been used.
They've atrophied. There's no strength there at all. And yet when Jesus healed someone who was lame, usually what they would do is they would either stand or sometimes leap and walk and, you know, get around just fine. They didn't have to learn how to walk again. They didn't have to learn how to take steps. They'd never walked in their lives. And all of a sudden they're able to walk and leap and run and praise God because of it. Because that's the type of miracles Jesus did. Jesus' miracles were also done publicly, where everybody could see. They were not miracles done behind closed doors. And they were done before many witnesses, oftentimes those who were enemies of the Lord. His enemies were there to witness these things as well. In Matthew chapter 8, for instance, he healed before a great multitude. There were a great multitude of people gathered there, and he healed them all. In Matthew chapter 12, he was in the synagogue. The Pharisees were there with him as well, and he healed a man there in the synagogue who had a withered hand. In Matthew chapter 21, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he was there in the temple, and all those who came to him, he healed them publicly where everybody could see it. So it was done not in private, but publicly. Now, why are these miracles not part of our ministry today? And I know people say, well, you can't say that only Jesus did these things, because that's not true. Jesus was not the only one who was able to perform miraculous things. For instance, look with me in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus had this power to heal. That's true. He had the power to perform these miracles. But he also could impart that power to others as well. And he did so to his 12 apostles. Matthew chapter 10 describes these 12 apostles. And notice what it says in verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Now, the power came from him, but he gave that power, he gave that ability, that authority to them. Power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, look down at verse 8. Jesus told them this. Well, look at verse 7. As you go, preach. Preach the word, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice what he tells them they're also to do. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. What's the next one? Raise the dead. Raise the dead. He says, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so people say, well, he gave his apostles, he gave the disciples power to heal. Why couldn't he give us power to heal as well? Well, to answer this question, we've got to ask ourselves another question and answer that one first. And that's this. Why did Jesus perform the miracles that he did? I don't think it was just compassion. I don't think that Jesus had this idea that I want you everyone to be healthy. I want everyone to have perfect health, so I'm going to go around and healing everybody who's sick and give them perfect health. You know, it's simply, it didn't work that way back then, and it doesn't work that way today. Even the Apostle Paul was given, it says in 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in the flesh. He had some sort of physical infirmity. I don't know for sure what it was. Many have speculated it may have been eyesight. He was blinded on the road to Damascus when he was saved. He talks on several occasions about difficulties with his eyes. He wrote, when he wrote himself, when his letters, he wrote with very large letters because it was difficult for him to see. I always think of Brother Shiflett, who had macular degeneration, and I used to get emails from him, and they would be in like 24-point, type, and every because he needed that to be able to see. I don't know if that was Paul's problem or not, but I do know this. He went to God, and he prayed three times and asked for it to be taken away. And God's answer in every case was the same for him. My grace is sufficient for you. And he wasn't healed. So God, this idea that God wants everybody to have perfect health and be healed, you can't really find that in scriptures. Even a leper, when he came to Jesus, said to this. He says, if you are willing, I know that you can cleanse me. He even recognized it has to be God's will for that to be done. And so he said, I'm willing. And he was cleansed when he did that. But why did Jesus heal? Look with me in Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's message to the people of Israel, men of Israel, on the day of Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day. And Peter stood up and preached to the people of Israel, because that's who God was still dealing with at that time. But I want you to notice what he says. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, we read these words. Men of Israel, he says, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, in the first verse that he speaks of there in verse 22, he speaks of Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry. He says, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is a man who was attested by God to you. Now, the word attested means to be approved, to show forth or to demonstrate something, to exhibit something in order to approve or show approval. God showed his approval of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, how did he do it? How did he demonstrate who Jesus was and his approval of the Lord Jesus? He says he did it by miracles, wonders, and signs. God demonstrated and proved that Jesus was who he said he was and had the power he did through miracles, wonders, and signs. Now, it's interesting that he uses three different words. He doesn't just say through miracles. He says miracles, wonders, and signs. Now, each one of those words has a little bit different meaning and helps us to understand, I believe, a little bit more the nature of Jesus' miraculous ministry, his healing ministry in particular. The first one we'll look at is the word wonder. The word wonder. Now, we saw that in Mark chapter 2 this morning. The word wonder means it's a work that stands out. It's a work that is prominent. It's a work that is conspicuous. All right? It is a work that causes great wonder or amazement and when people watch it happen. When people see it happen, they are amazed and they wonder. You think about what happened in Mark chapter 2, where Jake read this morning, where it talked about the man who was let down on the bed and Jesus healed him. And he says, all the people, when they saw this man healed, it says, they were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Now, that's the idea, I believe, behind a wonder. A wonder. Now, the time Jesus lived in, interestingly enough, if you look at the history of what the time that he lived in, was not really, it was a religious time. There were a lot of people who were religious. The Jews were religious, but so were the Greeks, who were very religious. And the city of Athens was given over to all sorts of different religions and worship of various idols. It was not a superstitious time period. It was a time of great learning and also a time of skepticism. So people were not, in a sense, easily amazed. It had to be something that truly was a wonder and caused amazement. You consider this. When you think back, for instance, to the Old Testament, go back to the Old Testament. We don't see the same level of miracles in the Old Testament that we see during the life of the Lord Jesus while he's here on this earth. Now, I'm not saying there weren't miracles in the Old Testament. I'm just saying they seem to be limited to specific times. You see a proliferation of them at specific times. For instance, Moses and Aaron, when they went before the Egyptian Pharaoh to demand that the children of Israel be brought out of the bondage and delivered out and by God to himself, they were given signs. They were given signs and miracles by God. There were 10 plagues that were brought upon Israel. And as they went out of the wilderness, Moses with his rod, his staff, was able to perform many different miracles there. God's provision for them, the water from the rock, the manna from heaven, the various things, the parting of the Red Sea, all the things there. So we see a lot of miracles there. We see some miracles, although they're even more limited when you get Joshua and their entrance into the Promised Land. Certainly the victories that God gave them were miraculous victories. No one would have thought they could have won some of those battles if they did. The walls of Jericho falling down like they did was a miracle. Okay, so there were some there. And then we jump to really to the book of stories of Elijah, the prophets Elijah and Elisha, who ministered to Israel at a time of great apostasy in that nation. And we see them, those prophets being given many signs to perform. You see it there, but you don't just see miracles all throughout the Old Testament Scripture. But when you come to the life of the Lord Jesus, things change. Then miracles are at the forefront of his ministry. They're there. Think of John the Baptist. We think of him as the forerunner of Jesus. But the Scriptures tell us in John chapter 10, verse 41, he did no signs. He didn't perform miracles. There's no record of miracles that he performed. But the Lord Jesus did. It's interesting, when you look at the word wonder, one of the things that we see about it is it's never used alone by itself. You never see Jesus performed this wonder. It doesn't say that. It talks about Jesus performing signs and wonders, or Jesus performing miracles, wonders, and signs, but never just by itself. And I think the reason for that is because the purpose of Jesus' miracles was not just to cause wonder. He wasn't there just to dazzle people with what he could do. He wasn't there to amaze people with his power and the things that he could do. In fact, Jesus never performed miracles to call attention to himself. Now, it did call attention, but that wasn't the purpose. All right, he didn't perform miracles to develop a reputation. He didn't perform miracles to particularly impress people. That's not what he was all about. That's not what the miracles were for. Jesus did not perform miracles either on request to prove himself. There were a couple of times that the Jewish rulers came to Jesus and said, we want to see a sign from you. In one place they said, show us a sign from heaven. Now, I think that's always an amazing request because he had already, but when they asked those questions, he had already performed so many amazing miracles, things that even they were amazed at. And yet they're still asking for, let us see a sign. See, that's the nature of the Jewish people and their leaders. They were a rebellious people. They were a hard-hearted people. They were a stubborn people. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says they request a sign. They always want to see in order to believe. And God has dealt with that people through that way throughout. Jesus didn't perform miracles for Herod. He was brought before Herod. Herod wanted to see a miracle from Jesus. And they questioned Jesus and wanted to see this miracle, and Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't even open his mouth before him, because he wouldn't just do a miracle just to appease people or to prove himself. Belief in Jesus only because of the wonder of his miracles, I don't believe, was enough. That wasn't true belief. That wasn't true faith in the Lord Jesus. All that was a belief that he did something amazing. I believe that he did something amazing, but it wasn't enough. I mean, it says, look with me a couple places in John. Look in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. This is after his first miracle, which is turning the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And we read, go with me down to verse 23. He says, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Look at the statement. They believed in his name only because of what? Only because they saw the signs. Only because they saw the signs. But look at the next statement. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was where? In men. He knew that there wasn't a genuine faith and belief in him just because they saw the signs. Jesus often performed the signs, and what was associated with it in all cases was the teaching and the preaching of the Word. In fact, it says in John chapter, look at John chapter 12, just briefly. John chapter 12. If he had just come working signs, you might say, well, that would have been enough for people to believe in him. Just the signs, you'd think that would have been enough. But it wasn't. Look at verse 37 of John chapter 12. We read these words, although he had done so many signs before them, he says, they did not believe in him. Then the majority of the people in Israel, even though he had done all of these signs before them, all these miracles, all these things that certainly caused them to wonder and be amazed, it says they still did not believe in him in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Isaiah 53 says, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? They didn't believe just because of the signs. You see, the miracles were wonders to gain people's attention. But the purpose was to listen to the teaching. Think about this. Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Now then, faith comes out of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. They wouldn't be saved just by watching the miracle and being amazed at it. It's in listening and hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is what saves people. That's how faith comes. When you hear the Word of God, you hear, you listen, you believe, you trust. And so that's what we see associated. The second word that's used is the word miracle. The word miracle is the Greek word dunamis. It is where we get our word dynamo, or where we get our word dynamite. It comes from that word dunamis, and it means power. It means ability. And it speaks of that power or that ability that is inherent in someone. Jesus had power in himself because of who he was. It is a work that demonstrated or proved that the power to do these miracles was from God. While the wonders were there to show the effect of the miracles on people's response to it, the miracles themselves, the powers, were there to show the source of those miracles. Look with me in Mark chapter 5. I always think this is an interesting passage. Mark chapter 5. It records two miracles of healing that come very close together. Jesus had one of the rulers from the synagogue, a man named Jairus, came and spoke to him and asked him to come and to heal his daughter, who was very, very sick and near death. And as he went, look at verse 24 of Mark chapter 5. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I mean, there are people thronging on every side. They're all over him. He's just walking in a crowd. So he's walking through this in a crowd. He says, and a certain woman had a flow of blood. She'd had it for 12 years. And she'd suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better. But she rather grew worse. All the doctors that, you know, tried to treat her could come up with nothing. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, and she just touched his garment. That's all she did. Look at the statement. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Maybe she'd seen that already in somebody else. Maybe she'd certainly heard about that. She says, all I've got to do is touch him and I'll be made well. And immediately, verse 29, it says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Completely, immediately and completely. And Jesus, look at verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Look at that statement. He knew, as soon as she touched him, he knew and he felt power go out of him. Out of him and into her to heal her. Power. That's what these miracles were. That word miracle oftentimes is translated and means power. The disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. Well, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. But power went out when he was healed. Mark chapter 6, verse 2, talks about the mighty works that were performed by Jesus' hand. Jesus' miracles confirmed, they established, and they proved that he was sent from God. I think they proved that. Think of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was a ruler of the Jews, supposed to be a teacher of the Jews. Came to Jesus one night in the dark. He didn't want to be seen by the other rulers because the other rulers were adamant against Jesus. Nobody was to be around Jesus or have anything to do with him. And Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night to question him, to ask him things. And he said this. He says, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, that's what he believed. He believed that God was with him. But you see, Jesus was so much more than that. Jesus was more than just the fact that God was with him. Jesus was God himself. Very God himself. And we see that in the third word that's used, and that's the word signs. Miracles, wonders, and the third word is signs. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And go down with me to verse 30. This is kind of what some people have called the backdoor key to understanding the Gospel of John. John speaks about some particular miracles that Jesus did, only he doesn't use the word miracle, and he doesn't use the word wonder. Notice what it says in verse 30. It says, truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Jesus performed so many signs. Again, all the books in the world wouldn't contain them all. But he says, these are written, verse 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, John always uses in his gospel account the word signs. The word signs. What does it mean? It is a word that indicates certainly a miracle. But it is a miracle that has a special significance or a meaning behind it. It's not just something that causes wonder. It's not just something that is an evidence of power. It is something that has a meaning that is associated with that sign. There's a teaching behind this. There's some truth to be taught through what Jesus performed. Now, what was the purpose of these signs? John records in his gospel account 8 different signs that are recorded. 8 miracles that are performed by the Lord Jesus, not considering the resurrection as one. But what he says is these are written that you may do what? Believe. Now, what are they asked to believe? Number one, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. But what else? Son of God. That's his deity. Son of God is not a lesser title for Jesus. That is a title of deity. He is very God himself. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And secondly, that believing, you may have life in his name. That's what these signs are there for. In fact, that's what we're going to do in our series when we get to it in a couple of weeks, is we're going to start a series on the 8 signs that are found in John's gospel. And we're going to look at these various aspects. How does this teach us, or how does this show us, or what's the significance of this miracle, and how does it show us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and how does it show us or teach us that we may have life through his name by believing in him? We're going to look at that. But we're going to continue with this next Sunday morning as well, because we really haven't totally answered the question. What did these miracles, wonders, and signs attest, prove, and demonstrate about Jesus? That's why they were given. They are God's confirmation, God's approval, God's demonstration, God's setting forth who Jesus is. We're going to look at these things, and we're going to look at the fact that it talks about His person. It demonstrates His person. It demonstrates His power. And it also attests to His preaching. And we will look at those things next Sunday morning. And we'll look in particular at the fact that these miracles that Jesus did while He was here on the earth, during His earthly ministry, are particularly given and particularly were done for the benefit of a particular group of people. And that is the people of Israel. And that's where a lot of people have misunderstandings. So I hope that you'll come back next Sunday morning and continue with us on this. And we will cover and we'll actually get to the answer to those last two questions. Why did Jesus perform these miracles? All right. And why are these miracles something that are not a part of our ministry today in this dispensation of grace? We'll look at that next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Gooch. Would you dismiss us in prayer, Gary?
Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity we've had to truly come here to hear this message. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for how He so clearly demonstrated, even by miracles, who He was. We thank You for the salvation we have by simple faith in Him. God, I thank You for that division. Seal Himself forever. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.